Let's study together, but first let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, etzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This weekend, as we're preparing for Rosh Hashanah, we're also recovering from Hurricane Irma. And there were moments when it looked like Hurricane Irma was going to land in a completely different place. My sister in Miami was ready for that. And then we saw that it hit land in a different direction. It looked like it was going to go right up the coast, and we were concerned for everybody on the coast, not just in the Keys, but on the coast as well, the west coast of Florida, in the Gulf. And Irma, being a hurricane, goes where it wants to go and went where it went and moved around in a variety of ways. And anybody who was watching TV outside of Jacksonville saw how our city was flooded and was hit with incredible floodwaters, historic levels. From what I understand, the highest flooding since records have been kept in the 1800s. And even to this moment, there are buildings, major buildings in Jacksonville that are unusable, that are homes and yards that are still flooded. There are creeks that are still rivers. And there are parks that are lakes right now. There is still a lot of damage. And we don't want to minimize any of that because there was a great loss that was suffered. But on the other hand, we do want to do something. We want to thank the Lord that we're alive and that we were protected. Our lives were protected. I remember what the psalmist said. I would have fainted unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so we're alive, and we can give thanks to the Lord that we are alive and that we have a future in front of us and that we can rebuild and recover. There are many people who suffered great losses that will not be covered by insurance, and they'll have to find ways to manage through this. So we want to pray for God's provision for everyone in that situation. In our own neighborhood, in the Mandarin area, there is probably more trees down than there were for Matthew a year ago. And majestic oaks in that part of Jacksonville are just leaning on their side. And big root balls have been fully exposed. In our backyard, there's a 40 to 50 foot oak that's been uprooted and it's now leaning. And it's propped up by another oak of about the same size. So we're praying that it will be able to be taken down without damaging our house or our neighbor's house. And the insurance companies, you know, we love insurance companies. We need them. But they're going through incredible difficulties now, you know, trying to respond. And their communication before the storm is, we're ready for anything. And after the storm is, it was, we weren't ready for this. And even the tree services are telling us that unless the tree has actually fallen and hit the house, they can't come yet. Because they're having to deal with priorities of things. So it's complicated. And our insurance company assures us if the tree does fall and hit our house, then we are covered. In the meantime, we're seeking coverage from the Lord and through prayer and hope and protection and getting the help that we need. So I know that this storm has produced a lot of stress. And by my own nature, I process stress a certain way. I engaged, first of all, in what I call stress eating. Yes. How many of you can relate to that, stress eating? In fact, there was one point where I decided, who needs salad? I'm going to finish the pizza by myself. And just to lighten up things for my sister who was in Miami, you know, and she didn't know what they were going to go through, I told her the story that we had made a nice pizza and Sandy got one slice. And I ate the rest of it. And the last two slices, I told my sister, were total commitment. Because it was already painful, but I thought, I'm going to finish this because I'm stress eating. And at the end, I couldn't think of anything because I had too much pizza inside of me. And I'm sharing this with you because I heard from others of you who said, yeah, our kids, we've been feeding them and it seems to be helping. You know, we got a big supply of snacks. And then the next day, those who still had cell phone service were saying, we've eaten up all our snacks and the stores are closed. What are we going to eat next? And that's why you have neighbors. So you can go knock on their doors, you know, with all your little kids in tow and say, feed them, please. But a number of you can relate to this about stress eating. We actually engaged in another process, stress texting. How many do that now? Do you know what that is? That's where you text. You text everybody you can think of to see, how are they doing? How are they holding up? What stories do they have to tell? Can anybody lighten the mood? And I heard from lots of folk. Even people who had run out of power, they still wanted to stress text with me. And some of them would say, I've still got 1% of my battery left. But I'm with you now. You know, and we text and then it's over and out, silence. Some people who are as committed to stress texting as I am actually started up their cars, took their phones out to their car, recharged their car. Vanessa, yeah. Ethel, some of you, some others, you did this. You recharged your phones in your car so you could go back into your powerless house and continue stress texting. That's commitment. I commend you. The other thing that I did that was to discharge my stress, we had lots of big branches all over our yard. And we had more Spanish moss than I've ever seen in the yard. And almost every square inch was covered. But that's not the big deal. The big branches were a big deal. And one of the guys who does some work for us was going to come the other day. And I decided, I knew how much work he had on his plate. You know, there's a lot for people who are working outdoors and landscaping. And so I thought, I'll help out, and I'll drag these big branches myself from the backyard to the, you know, to the curb where one day they'll be collected. And so I worked for a while. I got hot. I got sweaty and actually thought, when he comes, he'll be appreciative. And I didn't factor something in. He's from Cuba. And he thinks that Floridians panic when there's a hurricane and that hurricanes are normal. It's part of normal life. It's like a thunderstorm, nothing more than that, or a light dusting of snow if you're from up north. So he comes and he looks at this big pile of branches that I have drug bodily through my yard. And he said, why'd you do that? And I said, I thought I would help you. And he said, I would just tie a rope to them and drag them with my machine. It would have taken me 5 minutes. And I was actually counting on him saying, thanks, you know, you really helped. And he said, I could have done it really easily. So I told him the truth. The truth was I had so much nervous energy, I had to do something. It didn't matter if it was really effective or productive or not. I had to do something. How many of you can relate to that? You've got to do something in the midst of these situations. So I stress ate, I stress texted, and I stress dragged. Stress dragging. That needs explanation. So I did all of that. And yet, even so, on Friday morning, looking at that tree that was leaning and the root ball that's getting higher and higher up in the air, there was more stress on me than I could, like, eat my way through. And so I was trying to deal with it, and I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to cast my anxiety on him. And so in my own way, I said, yeah, and after I do that, then what? And it wasn't because I'm an unbeliever. It's because I was under stress. And you know how that can work. It can moderate your own sense of what God can do. It can bring down your courage. It can bring down your hope. It can bring down your faith. How many of you know this is how real life is? And so my first response was, yeah, so after I do that, then what? And in his quietness, he said, well, then it'll be better. And so I did. And you know what? It was better. And it was truly better to cast my anxiety upon him and to look to him for help. Now, there are times when you think you know where help is coming from, but you don't. And when you turn to the Lord, you discover that your help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, and that he really is faithful to bring help. He really is faithful to sustain you. He really is faithful to bring you through a difficult situation. In your heart and in your mind, you may fantasize that it would be so great if we never had any problems. But that is not the world we live in. The world we live in is filled with challenges and difficulties and with opportunities as well. And we yearn for the world to come, but we go through this world to get to that world. And in this world, we will have trouble. So the sooner we get over the fantasy that we shouldn't have any problems because we are believers, then the sooner we can live purposefully and effectively and well for God. And when we put those fantasies aside, we're able to put our trust in God in genuine and honest and very personal ways, and receive help from him that enables us to rise up and live well and also to be useful to other people. And that is why we've been talking for the last few weeks about how the comfort that we receive actually does help us. And it also enables us to help other people. The comfort that we receive empowers us to bring comfort to other people who are in difficulty. And we can tell them the honest truth. We don't have to lie to them. We don't have to sell them a fantasy package or a bill of goods, if you will, that if they would just believe in God, there would be no problems. It's not true. And some people have been sold that package of lies, that you will not have any problems if you just come to God. But it's simply not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Yeshua said. The scriptures teach us something different, that with God, we will get through this life in a positive and effective way. and his love and his character, his very nature will be built up into us, and we will become people who love. We will become people who help. We will become people who serve. We will become people who are merciful and people who are compassionate towards others. As we go through all of this, we become such people. This is the way that God shapes and forms us. And so, when we get through the stresses and we turn our hearts and our minds to the Lord, He really is present with us. I was praying about this weekend and what we should focus on from the readings, which are very interesting readings this week. And something kept coming to mind. It's a traditional Jewish prayer called Birkat HaGomel. Say that with me. Birkat HaGomel. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for deliverance. When a person has gone through a dangerous experience, one where their life even is at risk, afterwards they give thanks to the Lord for bringing them through that. When a woman has a child and is alive afterwards, this is one of the prayers that she might say, "Thank you, Lord, because you brought me through this." You know, childbirth is dangerous. When people go on long journeys or they face harrowing circumstances, afterwards they give thanks to the Lord. And they say, "Lord, thank you for sustaining me." And so this prayer was on my heart, and I felt that at some point today we should pray this. And then I was reading the Haftorah. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 63. Verse 7 is where I want to start. And I started reading these verses, Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. And I realized that this week's Haftorah contains the ideas and the vocabulary of Birkat HaGomel. And it is from this passage that even the idea that God delivers us through His mercy, the vocabulary is expressed, the ideas are expressed. And when I was reading this passage, Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9, I noticed something that made it so personal. And so I want to draw this out, starting in verse 7. "I will recall the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of Adonai." I will recall. So the writer is saying, I'm going to remember. I'm going to bring these to mind. I am going to think about them. I'm going to let the loving kindness of God and the praises of the Lord occupy the space of my mind, occupy my thoughts. I'm going to become attentive to them. I'm going to be absorbed in them. I'm going to remember them. I'm even going to work hard to think about and recall some that I have forgotten. "I will recall the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of Adonai because of all that Adonai has granted us and His great goodness." Because of all that the Lord has granted us and His great goodness. And then what's the next few words in your Bible? That's a little further on, yes. But immediately, the house of Israel. Some just say His goodness to Israel. And do you know what the Hebrew says? To Beit Yisrael. To Beth Israel. To Beth Israel. And I was looking at this and I thought, I'm taking this personally and positively. Because of all that the Lord has granted us and His great goodness toward Beth Israel. That's what the text actually says. Now, I know it applies to more than our congregation, but I also took it personally because it does apply to us in our congregation. We can say, Lord, you have been faithful to Beth Israel, to us individually, to our families, to our congregation, for all the goodness toward Beth Israel, LeBeit Yisrael, which he bestowed on them in keeping with his mercy, in keeping with the greatness of his compassion. For he said about Beth Israel, they are indeed my people, children who are not disloyal. And so he became their Savior. In all their troubles, he was troubled. This is so important to understand, that God is not indifferent to what we go through. He's not detached and completely separated. He's not unemotional. Now, he may not slip into despair and angst like we do, but he still feels the emotion of compassion and empathy. When we are troubled, he feels for us. And that's what I was experiencing with him. When I was casting my anxieties upon him, I was telling him about my troubles, and I could tell he cared. I could tell he wanted to hear from me. I could tell that he was moved by the things that were stressful to me. He's not indifferent to you. He's not ignoring you. He's not just looking out and saying, oh, it'll all be fine, don't worry. It's not the scriptures that say, be happy, don't worry. Trust in God. Be courageous. Be strong. And don't be afraid of what's ahead because of him. And so here the scripture is saying something so important about the character of God. In all their troubles, he was troubled. If you're going through troubles, understand this. God feels for you. He feels and he cares. And then the angel of his presence save them in his love. And then this next word I feel needs some translation help from some of the English translations. In his love and compassionate empathy. Some translations say pity. But I don't think pity in modern English really captures what the Lord feels. And the word is a relatively obscure word in Hebrew, but I think the best translation of it is compassionate empathy. And that's consistent with the rest of the thoughts in this passage. He feels for us with compassion, and he wants to make things better. But it says, in his love and compassionate empathy, he redeemed them. He became their redeemer. And it's speaking of the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer is the near relative who has the means to pay for what the individual in trouble cannot pay for. If the person has gotten into debt and been sold into servitude or slavery because they can't pay off their debt, the kinsman redeemer comes and pays the debt for that person. If the person is in bondage in some way, a prisoner, the kinsman redeemer comes and pays a ransom so that the individual, their family member, can be purchased out of slavery, out of bondage. The kinsman redeemer thinks of the person in trouble as their kin and has such compassion that he himself, from his resources, does everything necessary so that the person gets free when the person doesn't have enough resources, when they don't have the means to secure their own freedom. He became their Savior. In all their troubles, he was troubled. And the angel of his presence saved them. And in his love and compassionate empathy, he paid the price they couldn't pay. And he bought for them the freedom that they couldn't buy for themselves. He paid for it. Who paid for it? It says that God himself became our Redeemer. Messiah, who is our Redeemer, is also the Lord. The Lord who redeems us. And he redeems us not only from sin and death, he redeems us from bondage. He redeems us from fear. He redeems us from the adversary. He pays the price that we can't pay so that we could live the life that he has in mind for us. He does it for us. And for that reason, whenever we go through harrowing circumstances, whenever we go through difficulty, you can either live facing a dark cave, as someone said, that if you go into, you may never get out of. The cave of, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me? But if you turn upward with your hearts and with your minds and with your spirits, and if you allow yourself to fix your own eyes on the Lord, and you begin to say, Lord, thank you because I am alive today. Thank you that I have another day ahead of me. I have a future ahead of me. Yes, maybe some of the things that I had worked for I lost. Maybe some of the resources that I had obtained are no longer of any worth to me now because they've been lost. But I have a future ahead. And I can live with gratitude for that. And when you do this, you know what? You're saying, Lord, thank you for being my Redeemer. Thank you for paying the price. One of our grandsons, when he was just a little one, fell into a swimming pool and drowned. And this pool was more than an hour away from a hospital, and our son and his wife just cried over his lifeless body. It turned out that there was a CPR instructor who had never actually given CPR, but he was there. And somehow he came, and our grandson was revived. He had died and then came back to life. And the Lord did that without us even knowing what was going on. And I remember just giving thanks to the Lord when we heard the news about this. And I said to the Lord, you know all those times I asked for your help and I asked you to rescue me and this? Forget all that stuff. Thank you for doing this, and I didn't even ask. And now this one is 15, and he's a champion swimmer. Seriously. He is a real champion. He gets up at 3:35 in the morning, 6 days a week, in order to go practice. Because that's what it takes. And to our amazement, our son gets up at 3:35. Now, our son, yeah, I say to our amazement, because when he was a teenager, there were two things he liked to do, sleep and eat. And he did both quite well. And as his life has developed as an adult, you know, we used to say, there is justice. But he's up in support of his son those 6 days a week. And God has the victory through that. If we said, oh, why did this happen? And we were lost there, we would never rejoice about the future that's unfolded. But we rejoice. Because when God brings you through something, he's bringing you into something as well. And you may not know what that something is until you get there, and it may only be later that you can fully understand what it was. But I can tell you this, regardless of what you may have lost, you are still alive. And because of that, you have a hope and a future. And because of that, there is more ahead for you than you could imagine. Your life isn't over. There's a good future for you. And so with this in mind, I think it's appropriate that we together would say Birkat HaGomel. And I want to ask you to do something, and that's to stand up with me. And I'm going to call out the Hebrew text of this prayer, all of which are good words, and then call out the English. And after I call out each phrase, first in Hebrew, then in English, just repeat after me these phrases. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, HaGomel, Lecha Yavim Tovot, Shegmalani, Kol Tov. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who rewards the undeserving sinner with goodness, and who has granted me all goodness. Amen. That's our prayer. That's Birkat HaGomel. And we say this in honor of God and in recognition of who we are. We're undeserving sinners. And he has granted to us, as the prophet Isaiah speaks about throughout this week's Haftorah portion, he has granted us who were sinners and far away from him, his mercy and his love, and his open embrace so that we could return to him. And he paid the price we couldn't pay and atoned for all of our sin and forgives us and rewards us far beyond what we could ever imagine or deserve. And for that reason, we say, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, let it be that we recall the tender mercies of our God and the praises of Adonai for all the good things that you have granted to Beth Israel, to us individually, to our families, to our congregations, and to those around us. We honor you and recognize your great compassion and love in Yeshua's name. Amen. So we're going to close the service now, but I want to ask you to participate in a very specific way. When we go next door for a bagel and egg, take time to hear each other's stories. Tell your stories. Everybody's got stories to tell from Irma. Sit and talk with each other. Move around, talk to each other. Eat some bagels, have some cream cheese, drink some coffee, have some tea, drink some water, whatever you like. Pick up the trash after you. When you spill things, what do? Clean them up. When you drop things, what do? Pick it up. When something is trash on your table, what do? Clean it up and throw it away. Right. All that stuff. Do all that stuff because we're mishpocha. You're not going to some restaurant. It's family time. But take time with each other. Listen to each other's stories, tell each other's stories, and pray and encourage and support each other. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. If you're standing by yourself, I want to encourage you to just move over a few chairs worth so that you're not alone. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panavei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. See you next door at the Shalom Center.